Blog Talk Radio.
Looking back in a retrospect. Ups and downs, it's part of destiny. You wish upon a star and hope one day that wish comes true. But I wouldn't change one simple phrase, the chance of loving you. Strength for my weakness. I knew that loving you was easy, and learned with love to conquer. And in my quest to find the answer, found I was born for this. What we don't know, yes, I do believe, yes, I do. When a child is born, the angels sing in perfect harmony. Life doesn't mean just happiness. There's always room for rain. If we learn what autumn knows, spring will come again. Born for this, destined for greatness, I was prepared for this. Your strength for my weakness, I knew that loving you was easy, and learned with love to come. Celebrate each moment.
Hello there. Please forgive me because I'm a bit winded. Oh, but it's another glorious Wednesday, regardless of how it looks outside. I know a lot of places it looks all grim and dingy, but it's another glorious Wednesday, and you know what time it is. So get your cuppets ready, baby, because it's time to dish tea. And you're dishing tea, darlings, with Big Meech. What's going on, people? Honey, it's a trying day today. When I tell y'all, honey, a bitch just got through racing, trying to get over here to this phone and to the switchboard, honey, I mean it wholeheartedly. But I'm not going to let it stop me. Honey, thank you all for your love and your support. If you're tuning in right now and wish to have questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to log to dial in at 347-205-9183. Again, that's 347-205-9183. And let's do the thing. You hear me? If you wish to send me any questions, comments, concerns, or suggestions, please feel free to email me at the new email address, and that's at bigmeech@dishingtea.com. Once again, that's bigmeech@dishingtea.com. Yes, darling, we are a .com right now, honey. Okay, the new website is in development, www.dishingtea.com, and soon you'll be able to check out what's in store with the show and for all your upcoming and all the archival shows. So I'm very excited about that. It's in development. We got some new things. I got a new logo and everything, so I'm just very excited. So keep your eyes and ears open for that, okay? Let me say hello to all of my tea sippers over there in the tea room. Yes, the tea room is open. And you may go over there and chat to your heart is content. Just be sure that you chat responsibly, okay? Just make sure, honey, remember this is the written word. And a lot of times when we see stuff in print, we tend to put our own inflictions on something, thinking that the person is trying to diss us or whatever the case may be. But just remember, it's the written word. So dish your tea responsibly. No need for you to throw your computers at folks or throw stuff at it or throw it out the window or any of that kind of nonsense, honey. Just dish your tea over there responsibly, okay? So here is my disclaimer. This show is for mature audiences only, and the language or subject matters that are broadcasted here are not appropriate for children or anyone who is not mature to handle the subject matters. So your listening discretion is advised. Again, your listening discretion is advised. Now, y'all know I have a potty mouth, and I make no excuses for it, and I'm not going to take responsibility for all of you children out there who don't understand what's what. You hear what I'm saying? So remove your children from the listening area. If you are at work, it is your duty to make sure that you're listening to this responsibly. Don't you come sending me emails without talking about some of your job done did this, that, and the other. You got demerits and write-ups. So I'm telling you now, it ain't my fault. So listen accordingly, okay, and govern yourself responsibly. Now, today's show, this edition of Dishing Tea with Big Meats, we will delve into the life of one of the most prolific, always working, completely innovative actors of our time. Now, many of you may not know him by name, but you definitely know him by face. Mr. Clifton Powell, he has been in everything from he played Pinky in Next Friday and Friday After Next. He was Jeff Brown in Ray. He was Andre on Rock and countless of other film and television shows and even stage plays that have been most popular by the African-American culture and in our popular culture at large. Now, we were going to get into all the secrets of his work ethics and look at his personality and see how he copes with balancing Hollywood and regular everyday life. Now, this is going to be a lovely show, honey, so I hope you brought all of your covers and everything with you. So we're going to delve into that. But before we do, let me say hello to all of my sponsors out here. Starting with, like I said, I'm a bit winded, okay? We're going to start with Trade Day Management and PR firm. At Trade Day, enjoy a touch of Southern hospitality with a universal appeal for all of your public relations and entertainment management needs. Contact Travion Davenport at 678-523-3088. Again, that's 678-523-3088 or email at tradeaypr@gmail.com. That's tradeay, TREADAYPR@gmail.com. Pharaoh's Treasure Box, fine art, unique jewelry, and sensational 3D silk floral arrangements, creations by Taps. For all of your decorative needs, contact Pharaoh's Treasure Box at 248-678-5178 or 5179. That's 248-688-5178 or 5179. Or email at pharaohstreasurebox@yahoo.com. Again, that's pharaohstreasurebox@yahoo.com. Parisian Wine Productions, music to lighten your spirits and lift your soul, specializing in gospel house and inspirational dance music production. For all of your Christian or church social needs, contact Paris Hairston, he's the CEO, at 646-243-9396. That's 646-243-9396, or email at paris42268@yahoo.com. That's paris42268@yahoo.com. Life, Fellowship of Christ Ministries, Live in Freedom Everywhere, LIFE. The Reverend James Coleman is the leader and founder of this ecumenical social justice ministries brought forth to free the oppressed and introducing a fresh approach to the Christ consciousness. Contact Reverend Coleman at 313-833-9278. That's 313-833-9278 or email at mustardcole@yahoo.com. That's mustardcole@yahoo.com. Eat some Vidal Couture, high fashion with a luxurious twist. Step into the future with fresh, innovative couture designs by Ms. Michi DeVelle. For more information, contact Michi at 313-996-9807, 313-996-9807, or on Facebook, that's facebook.com/ Michi DeVelle, M-I-C-H-I-E-E-D-E-V-A-L-E. Big Brothers Network, the BBN, a new online web magazine designed to show the world the class and style of the debonair man of size and his admirers. Launching its first edition this past Memorial Day weekend. For more information or to check out the latest edition, please log on at www.bigbrothersnetwork.com. www.bigbrothersnetwork.com. That's BIGBROTHAS network.com. Also, we have the Caribbean Boys Enterprises. We cater, promote, entertain, and provide special services with the Caribbean swagger. Island flavor on the mainland. Bam, bam. I just love that. Mr. Silvano T. DeMarco is the CEO and founder of the CBAC. For more information, contact Silvano at CaribbeanBoysATL@Yahoo.com. Caribbean Boys with a Z, ATL, at Yahoo.com. Or on Facebook at Facebook.com/ Silvano T. DeMarco. That's SYLVANOTDMARCO. Kissing After Dark, Atlanta's premier social events for all those who are tired of the same old party scene. These premier events are across the ATL where the grown and sexy can become the seasoned and sophisticated. Every Wednesday at the Banana Wind in the underground Atlanta, join Kissing After Dark for Lesbian Wednesdays, the hottest lesbian bi attractional bi curious party in the ATL. Doors open at 8 p.m. until no cover, $3 drink specials, and $10 bucket specials. For more information, go to facebook.com/ Kissing After Dark. That's facebook.com/ KISSN After Dark. Swirl Films. The Swirl Films is the number one urban film production company specializing in all areas of film production, including directing, producing, script writing, budgeting and scheduling, production assembling, and post-production. For more information, contact Eric Thomasunas, Russ Parr, or Keith Neal at 910-798-2934. That's 910-798-2934. Or go to www.swirlfilms.com. Once again, www.swirlfilms.com. All right, we have special announcements coming up later in the broadcast. However, like I said, we want to get things started, and I just got a text message, and Mr. Powell is having some technical difficulties with his phone. And, yes, I'm having a little bit of problem with getting him in because he keeps dropping his signal. So in the meantime, while we're waiting on that, he's on his way in, I'm going to continue on. And let me go here. I want to showcase a couple of new songs and things while we're in waiting. And I think this also plays into the theme of today because if you're an actor and entertainer out there, I want you to really listen to today's show because once Mr. Powell comes in, we're going to sit down and you really want to work in this business, honey. You really want to have staying power in this business. This is one of the men we need to talk to because, as I said, honey, you've seen him in everything. Child, okay. If you've gone on the Facebook page and seen the mock and saw his picture, you're going to say, oh, child, that's him because you've seen him in everything. So with that, let me showcase this song here because I think this here would take us right where I need to be. Wait a minute, let me find the song because it looks like, here, let me do Selena Johnson, I Just Want to Be Me.
How do I keep a smiling face?
Want to be me, baby. That's Miss Selena Johnson, honey, my new diva. You know, that's my girl right there. A friend to the show. She's been on once. She's going to come back soon. She's going to be releasing her new LP, Chapter 5, Underrated, honey. It's coming out in 2011, I believe, right at the top of the year. So be looking for that, okay? I'm still waiting to clear up some technical difficulties with Mr. Powell. He's in between sets. Oh, and he's not being able to pick up a decent signal. He's been in the queue and then has been dropping out. So he just texted me again saying he's got to find somewhere clear. So while he's finding the clear spot, that there is lovely. Let me bring to you a couple of interesting things, honey. One of the sponsors, honey, I told you we had some wonderful special announcements. And the CBAC, honey, the Caribbean Boys of Atlanta, I love that. Mr. Silvano T. DeMarco, honey, they're doing a wonderful, wonderful holiday extravaganza. And by the way, I told you I've been rushing. Happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble day to everybody. You know, turkeys and greens and macaroni and cheese day to you as well. I'll talk about all the good grub in a minute, but right now I want to bring in Mr. Silvano T. DeMarco, and we're going to talk a little bit about what the Caribbean Boys is all about and what they got planned for tomorrow, okay? So while we're doing that, here is my lovely sponsor, one of them. This is Mr. Silvano T. DeMarco. Hey, my darling, Bam Bam, what's going on?
Greetings, 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 greetings from Atlanta, and happy holidays, Atlanta, and all over.
Thank you for calling me in, honey. I wanted to make sure that we gave you a personal shout-out and a soundbite right now so we can talk about the Caribbean Boys for just a minute and then also give us the latest 411 on what's going on tomorrow evening. So spill your tea, darling.
Oh, good day. How y'all doing, everyone? And how you doing? Happy holidays to you, Big Meech.
Oh, well, thank you, baby. Gobble, gobble.
Well, I'm just having a little something going on, the Thanksgiving party. This will be our Thanksgiving party of the year. I am Savannah T. DeMarco from the Caribbean American Boys. And our Caribbean American Boys, we have, you know, we all get together a couple times a year, you know, associate everything. You know, it's just a little group that we have going on with us, just like from people from other places like the Bahamas, Jamaica, people even from the Caribbean descent. You know, something different that lives the alternative lifestyle as well. So we all have our little community as well as of, you know, all associating and everything. But in any event, our party is tomorrow. We're having a party tomorrow night, of course, downtown at Ponce de Leon, 590 Atlanta, Georgia, 30308, right across from the Cactus Car Wash and the East City Hall intersection. So definitely we'll be downtown. It goes down tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, $10 before midnight, all-you-can-drink party. So bring your friends, family, anything who lives the alternative style. We're going to have a good time with all the hip-hop, soca, the latest reggae, house music. And I know you like that house, right, Big Meech?
Bam, bam, baby. Now, see, you know, Big Meech could kind of run. The kids don't know that about the big boys, honey. Now, see, I don't dance before midnight these days because I want to, you know, I need to let the little kids that's going to be there, honey, get their little feel in, you know. And that way I get to see what the competition is. So when I come to drop it like it's hot, you know, I drop it, pick it back up, and they're going to sit my fat ass back down, honey, because I'm not 17 no more, honey. So,
anywho. Wow. Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about.
So, you know what? Give me a little bit of the whole inspiration behind the Caribbean Boys. And, okay, you know, with you guys, with you and your heritage being from the islands and things from the Bahamas and the Caribbean, you know, being able to be an entrepreneur here in the mainland, what does that mean for you? And how is it that you utilize your power for good for the upliftment of the LGBT community?
Well, my main thing is my main thing is to everyone, the sky is the limit. When you come from one country to another, you come to this country to better yourself. And that's what I do. I had an objective. I'm not going to just come to this country and just suffer. You know what I mean? So it's like my thing is, like, if I'm going to suffer here, I might as well go back to where I come from. So I come here to better myself and strive for excellence, and that's the thing I do. And I hope to inspire all my peoples from the Caribbean, from Europe, international period, to come to this country and basically strive for excellence as well. And that's my motive to all my people, especially the people who lives in an alternative lifestyle, which is not a big thing back home where we're from, Bahamas and Jamaica. You know, it's very strict of living that type of lifestyle. But in any event, you know, we, you know, that's why I'm trying to build up this type of community for us. Hey, you know, we have a say too as well. Copy.
Oh, okay. Well, good copy, honey. Oh, did you say copy? I am living for that. And you know what? This so fits within the theme of today's show, because when Mr. Powell comes on in, honey, we're talking about being able to, you know, have sustainability and to being able to be a force to be reckoned with here. Now, how long have you been up and in operation?
Well, I've been technically up in about 5-6 years now. When I moved here in Atlanta after 2001. So after I realized, I said, you know, hey, this, when I first came to Atlanta, Atlanta wasn't that diverse. I always think, okay, this mainly just Georgia folks here, not too diverse, everything's not really going on, because I came from high school, I grew up in Miami as well. I went to high school in Miami, so my thing is, that's okay, well, we just need some diversity going on here, especially with the lifestyle as well. So I said, you know what, let me try to get some type of either community or organization going on. I said, you know, let's, and then as like I said, when I came here, most of my friends and family, they wasn't even here, most of my friends, they all actually start migrating to Atlanta after I came here. So I kind of inspired them to move to Atlanta as well. So I have a pretty much a good amount of friends and family that lives here now since I came here. So I was pretty much consider myself a good inspiration to other people.
All right, all right. Well, that there sounds like a winner right there, honey. You know, for somewhere around that six-year mark, you know, being entrepreneurial and things. Now, what would you say to a budding entrepreneur or someone who may be in, you know, already doing their own business and yet may be stumbling, may be, you know, not seeing their profit margins or this, that, and the other? What do you say to those folks out there? What is the message that you will hold dear as a teaching tool or as a tool, period, for all entrepreneurs and budding entrepreneurs to put in their toolbox?
Well, basically, to put it in your toolbox, first you need to know the meaning of entrepreneur. Entrepreneur take chances, and I'm that type of person to take chances. So if you're that person willing to take chances in life, do that. If that's what you want to do, don't let nobody stop motivating. Keep motivating yourself. Keep doing it again until you strive for excellence. You do that. So my thing is for you, everyone who has that mindset of doing something, do it. If it takes up to yourself to keep doing it, motivating yourself, do it. Be around motivated people that would help you to do it as well. So that's just my thing, being an entrepreneur is all about taking risks.
All right. All about taking risks and understanding the risk and understanding it's okay to fall, just get back up.
That's it.
Keep that motivated set mind
for you.
Okay. Well, I love that. I love that for inspiration. Now, give us one more time where everything is going to be for tomorrow evening, and also let us know where we can find you on Facebook.
Oh, definitely. Thank you, Big Meech. Definitely. The Thanksgiving party of the year, again, will be at the event spot tomorrow night, starting tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. $10, all you can drink before 12 a.m. Again, it's going to be an all-nighter, so be prepared for that. After you eat all that gobble-gobble good food, come and party with us. It's at 590 Ponce de Leon, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. And again, it's across from the Cactus Car Wash and the City Hall East. So just make sure you come out and come dance and enjoy yourself and have a good, jolly time, safe time as well.
Well, I say all righty then, honey. Well, darling, Big Meech is coming. I told you, I am feeling better. So I just need one more night of sweating. If I could sweat the rest of this out, honey, I'll be able to boogie. So I caught a nasty-ass cold from one of my coworkers, honey, and don't get me started on that job because I'm about ready to really blast their asses today. But I won't because, yeah. Anywho, yeah, so, yeah, Big Meech to be in the building, honey. You know, as long as I'm able to boogie. If I can boogie, I'm going to be there, baby, I promise. So with that, I'm bringing my entourage. How about that? So, so with that, my darling, let me say thank you for coming in and for kicking off this entrepreneurial spirit and the whole spirit of being able to take the bull by the horns. Okay?
Thank you, and I appreciate you bringing me on, Mr. Big Meech. Now, again, I want to say happy holidays, and everyone have a safe and happy Thanksgiving, and I wish everyone the best.
All right, baby. Thank you so much. I'll talk with you in just a bit.
Thank you. Have a good day, sir.
You too, baby. Thanks. All right, everybody. That was Silvano T. DeMarco of the Caribbean Boys, ATL. And, yeah, they're kicking off Thanksgiving, honey. So after y'all get through with all of your little eats again, I'll come and dance and on off with them. Now, we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of today's show, honey. I want to bring in someone. Y'all probably know him best as Pinky. From next Friday and Friday after next. You may also know him from Ray, where he played Jamie Foxx's Ray Charles. He played Ray Charles' right-hand man, Mr. Jeff Brown. My favorite scene, of course, is when Ray got rid of him and really threw him off for the other dude, honey, who I keep calling him Dressel from the Five Heartbeats. But anyway, I know that that's so late, ain't it, that I don't know his name. Anywho. But without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, this is the one and only, this is the man that everybody needs to learn from. This is Mr. Clifton Powell. Cliff, baby, what's going on, player?
Big Meech, Larry Hoover. Big Meech, Larry Hoover. How you doing, Big
Meech? You silly.
How you doing, buddy? Hey, listen, man, I'm just so blessed and honored that God gave me a gift that I have been able to share with African American and Latinos and white folks, midgets. It's been great, man. It's just,
did you say midgets? Okay,
did
you know I'm gonna hit you with a wet noodle already? I'm gonna hit you with a wet noodle, all fucking ready. You coming in? Okay, now. All right.
You know, I'm just. You know, today is the Thanksgiving Eve. I'm gonna eat me some turkey. I feel fantastic, man. I just feel blessed that, you know, I'm respected for the work that I've done. That's just what I feel, you know?
But you know what? You know, let me say this to you. From one actor looking to have to aspire to have the career that you have, man, I told this to Keith, your manager, that if I had a tenth of the career you have, I would have no worries in the world. I so admire your diversity in the craft. I admire that you're constantly on the grind. I admire that you take chances with your work. I admire that you don't let yourself box yourself in, even though the system has tried to, because a lot of folks know you for being very sinister in a lot of roles.
Right.
But you've been able to show your diversity within the stage plays. You've been able to show your comedic side. You've been able to be a very well-rounded, full-blossomed actor. And for that, honey, I tip my hat, I tip my wig, I take my shoes off for the respect that I have in you in this craft.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think that, you know, early on starting out, I didn't really have a plan. And ultimately what happened was, you know, like, for instance, when I played Dr. King, I played Martin Luther King in Selma, Lord Selma.
Yes.
My picture came across Reuben Cannon's desk, and he brought me in. And basically what I've tried to do is just try to find the core and the truth of a character. So if I'm brought in for something that they're not really considering me for, I go away and I study and I become that character. And you almost leave them no room for error, you know. So I tell young people to really study hard and really, you know, immerse yourself in the character, learn the lines. If you can dress the part. When I went in for Dr. King, I stayed up all night and I watched Eyes on the Prize. And I came in, I had a suit on like Dr. King. I studied his voice patterns. I studied his physical mannerisms. And that's just my theater training, you know, from school and from all the years that I trained, you know, from, you know, community theater all the way through to Emerson and Workshop for Careers in the Arts in D.C. And all my training came in, you know, comes in handy as I play these diverse roles that I've been able to play. So I just thank God for that.
That's a complete blessing. Now, you know, as I'm looking over your dossier, you have been very, very, very extensive. I think of your television career, your probably most noteworthy character was possibly Andre from Rock with Charles Dutton.
Right,
and that was a very powerful, powerful role there.
That's another role that I went in. And they wanted a cracked-out crack dealer, and I went in looking like a cracked-out crack dealer. You know, I didn't have any room for error when I first started, and I didn't exactly know what the Hollywood protocol was. So if they asked for a drug dealer or killer or monster, I went in full body armor, you know, so to speak.
Okay, I love that. Now, let's go here. Now, first off, let me give you kudos because you and I are both fellow Pisceans, and you are March Pisces like me. I'm March 4th, so kudos
and
shout 16. Out to Pisces.
Kudos to you.
Yeah.
To the Pisces in the world.
Okay. Pisces.
Good people.
Power. Okay. also, now let's take it to the beginning stages. When you got bit by that bug, where were you, and what was it that determined you to say, okay, let me devote all of my time and energy here?
Well, you know, I think my journey has been really one of divine intervention. I really do believe that your career and your life is already laid out for you. I grew up in the inner city of D.C., and I wasn't really exposed to theater and film and television when I was growing. I mean, television, of course, but not film and stage and all that stuff. So, you know, in the ninth grade, I transferred from one school to another. And at that time, going into my 10th grade year, I was able to see a play. I saw a play for the first time. And I was like, man, that looks like it's some fun. Because I basically wanted to be a football player, but I was like a class clown. And, you know, everybody was searching. You know, I was a good guy, but I was a class clown, and I was a nuisance. You know, I wasn't a menace to society, but I was what my father called me mischievous because I was always into stuff and, you know, busy. I was a busy little boy. And so when I saw the play, other than playing football, the only passion I really had was football and baseball. And when I saw the play, I was like, wow, that looks like some fun stuff to do. And I said, what is that called? I saw the play. I really didn't know what it was. They said, it's a play. I was like, yeah, a play. Okay, I think I might want to try that. So the next year when I actually went to the school that I saw the play at the year before, I went to one of the teachers, and I remember his name was Mr. Red, and he was a really nice white guy, but he was kind of out of his element with these inner-city kids that were, you know, at this all, you know, it was basically integrated Catholic high school, but you had these little tough kids from the inner city. So I went to him. I said, listen, Mr. Red, I want to do a play, and I don't want to do no damn singing, man. I just want to do the play, but I don't want to do no damn singing because I don't sing. And he said, okay, Clef, we'll see. We'll see if we can get you in there. And, you know, the guy put me in the play. He literally put me in the play. It was called Little Abner. And I did the play, and I really didn't really know what I was doing. I was just having some fun. The girls were around. I couldn't get girls back in that day. So, you know, the girls were around, and it just seemed like a lot of fun. It was something to do. I was just looking for stuff to do. So my Spanish teacher came to me, and then my niece asked me, she said, you know, you were actually pretty good in the play. You think maybe you want to be an actor? I was like, I don't know nothing about no acting. I was just doing that. And lo and behold, there was a guy in my school who went to this acting arts program called Workshop for Careers in the Arts that was run by Mike Malone and Peggy Cooper, Kay Fridge, and Glenda Dickinson and Kenneth Doherty.
Oh, wow.
Those are my teachers, Charles Brown, Mike Malone out of D.C., Kenneth Doherty, Skipper Driscoll, Carol Maylard, Kiki Shepherd, all of us were all in there together. And
wow.
And they asked me, so one of my partners out of the play was going up to audition for workshops because one of the guys went to workshops. And I just rode along just to go along. I wasn't planning to audition. So when I got there, they kept asking me to audition. And I was like, dude, I didn't come up here to audition. I just rolled up to hang out with my man. And so the guy came out of the room three times. He said, look, we need more men in there to audition. Do you want to audition? I was like, man, I don't know nothing about no little audition. I ain't trying to be no little actor. I'm going to be a football player. So the guy came out one more time and said, listen, do you want to come in and we just need one more man in there. We're trying to get 15 men in the new season, in a new session. I was like, whatever, man, I'll do it. So I just did the little audition, man, and I wasn't even planning. So the next week they called me and said, you in the program. I was like, man, I don't know nothing about this program, man. So they said, listen, man, just come and try it out. So that's what happened. I went and I tried it out. And you have to understand, I was really from the hood. So I was like a little hood cat. And I'm in class with people that are wearing slippers and tights. And so I went in the first 6 months, I wouldn't wear my tights and leotards. So they got me one of the other teachers, and he said, look, man, he said, listen, you know, they want to put you out of the program. He said, but you got to conform a little bit. I said, man, I'm not wearing no leotards and tights, you know. So finally he talked me into wearing leotards and tights, and, you know, I kind of got into the program, but I wasn't really there to be an actor, man. I was just hanging out. And then, you know, when God gets in it, you know, it has already been ordained for you. You know, basically what happened was the passion of the arts just basically took me over. The passion of music, mm-hmm. the drama, the spectacle of art basically took me over, man. And I really got into it and found my passion. And that's basically what happened. And then, you know, from there I went on to college and just stuck with it. And I tell young people, when I go into the prisons or I go into the high schools, I got 580 on my SATs. How I got into college is another miracle. And then
wow.
I was the worst actor to come out of my program. But what I had, I think that God instilled me with, was a drive and a determination to be successful, and that's what it was. So that's my story.
And determination. He said, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Do you know what? I'm as you're telling the story, I'm picturing you in tights and leotards. Why is it that tights and leotards always seem to be the thing? Because we did Julius Caesar when I was in high school. That was nothing but tights and leotards and things. Oh my God. I don't know.
Okay. You know, back in the day, the delineation between being masculine and being anything else, whether you were strong, you had to be strong, even when you didn't want to be strong, it was just the time, you know, and all that stuff was looked at as being effeminate, and it had nothing to do with that directly, but from my hood and the way I was raised, you know, little boys didn't run around with tights on, you know,
exactly.
So all of that was inside of my head, and then I just had to, you know, query my mind and pray on it and just let it go, man, you know, because they were ready to put me out of the program, you know, and then I had a street edge that wasn't dangerous, but, you know, I'm from a different part of town, and I had a little bit more of a edge and a roughness to me than some of the other kids. And they were like, man, we want to make sure this guy is really comfortable here, because if not, he looked like he can start some stuff up in here. And it wasn't that I was going to do that. It's just that I was raw, you know, like I was a raw ghetto Negro, you know, for lack of a better word, you know. And they really believed in my talent. They believed in my talent. And, you know, they believed in my abilities. They believed in my soul and my spirit. And my teachers really took time with me. You know, God rest his soul, Charles Brown, who was my first drama teacher, man, took me under his wings and really just taught me how to be a better person and a more more in tune to my art. And that's what happened. And I will always be forever grateful to, you know, Glenda Dickinson, Mike Malone, Charles Organs, Skipper Driscoll, Kenneth Doherty, Charles Brown. And then my class of workshop for Careers in the Arts went on to form the first season and the first class of Duke Ellington School of the Arts, which is now, you know, in Washington, D.C. in Northwest uptown.
Oh, wow.
So workshops,
oh, wow.
The last
How
class,
wonderful is that?
The last class of workshop for Careers in the Arts was myself and, you know, all those teachers. They merged with the school system and formed Duke Ellington School of the Arts, which is, a really wonderful institution in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the
mm-hmm.
opportunity
mm-hmm.
about 5 years ago to go back and speak to the young people, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. My teachers were in the audience, and, you know, it was very emotional. You know, I had some tragedy in my junior year. My dad had a nervous breakdown, and my mom died early, and my – this is going to get me emotional. I don't want to –
It's okay.
It's been such a journey, man. You know, and I tell young people out there, you know, just really put your hand in God's hands, man, because it takes a village to raise a child, and that's why I take my time to go into the institutions and the high schools and do community-based work that I do, man, because I'm truly, you know, people see me on TV, man, but I'm in movies, but I'm truly a miracle because I really was that kid that you just didn't exactly know what was going to happen with him, you know. And
wow.
My junior year, my dad, who was a great guy, had a nervous breakdown. And I lost, you know, back in the day when you get evicted, you lose everything. They take all your furniture. They take all your clothes. And I lost everything.
Yes, they still do.
And they still do that. And I thought they stopped that process. So anyway, I came home from class one day, and all my stuff was out on the streets. And I called workshops. I went to stay with my sister and live with her. And my dad never really recovered from that. But
wow.
I called workshops, and I told them, I said, you know, I'm going to have to drop out of the program. And they said, wow, what happened? I said, well, my dad had a nervous breakdown, and all my stuff, my college applications, all my clothes, everything is gone. And I got to try to find a way to get a job so I can pay my tuition at school so I can keep going, you know, because nobody in my family had money at that time. And so what happened was they called an emergency meeting at workshops, and they decided to put me on payroll and pay my tuition for the next 2 years and buy me new clothes, help me with my college applications, and they saved my life. And that's exactly what they did for me.
You see how God works.
And all I can tell people out there is that when I talk to my father, he used to say, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can make it through. And I am a witness that if you have faith in God, can move mountains. So, you know, those teachers, you know, Mike Malone and Glenda Dickinson and Peggy Cooper and Faz Brown and all those teachers, Dennis Wiley, all those folks who were instrumental and me staying in workshops is the reason why people see me on television and in movies today. And I've been able to make an impact because at the final hour when I had nowhere to turn, they called an emergency meeting and put me on payroll and gave me a stipend to pay my tuition and gave me enough money to live on for the next 2 years before I went to college.
Wow. Is it?
So I'm writing a book next year to try to put my whole journey in a book because I really want to be able – I think when God touches you and you've been able to have a career like mine, that you have to give back to young people and help, you know, in any way you can to guide young people and be a mentor. And I want
exactly.
I want my book to serve as a mentoring kind of thing. I want people to know my life and my journey, but, you know, I just never gave up, and that's what they instilled in me. So it gets me emotional because, you know, when I look back on it, you know, had it not been for that one inception of them intercepting my life at that moment, I don't know where I would have ended up, you know, because it was a tough time. So, you know, that's my story, you know. So that's why I think
wow.
I bring a passion. I try to bring a passion to my work. You know, I try to do 100% no matter what I do because that's the way I was trained and that's the way I was taught. And I'm so humble and grateful for all the people who shared and helped my life become what it has become, you know. And it gets you a little teary-eyed sometimes because some of my teachers have moved on, but they've gotten a chance to see. You know, so anyway, there you go, Big Mitch. You got me all emotional on Thanksgiving Eve. See the big old gangster boy.
You know what?
Little teary eye, you know.
That's okay because, see, that there is the spirit of what Thanksgiving ought to be.
Yeah.
Because when we reflect back on the infinite creator and all that we have accomplished, all that we have gone through, and I'm not going to necessarily call them mistakes, I'm going to call them our learning lessons that propels us forward. To get here at this time, at this place, in this time, and in this place, where we're able to see the first African-American president in our lifetime, we're here to see the fruits of what our ancestors have planted, because we're in that harvest season. So we're here, and to understand that it brings emotion and gets you there, it's okay, because
that's what
this is all about. And it doesn't work, because if it doesn't come from a place of authenticity, then a lot of folks ain't going to get it anyway. So as long as you're able to stay in that place, then everything that you do, it comes from that place of authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well,
no question.
So don't be afraid to be emotional here and there. It's all good.
I'm a Pisces. You know, Pisces are emotional, you know.
I'm emotional anyway. So, you know, you got that other thing going. Well, look, Sister Tia, but let me ask you this, because as you pay homage to your parents, and for all that they have given you, and for those who have helped shape you, how do you, in your work, give homage to them? We know about the success of the work because, you know, you're at that point now to where those hard times are part of yours, are part of the story. But now when you look over your work and when you're choosing roles and this, that, and the other, how does your paying homage to them influence the work that you do?
Well, you know, first of all, I have to give, you know, honor and glory to God because, you know, that it's been, you know, the New York years are very tough. You know, I was homeless, and it was real rough because my family didn't have money. And, you know, God's faith in me brought me through. But, you know, my mom died, you know, very tragically when I was 4 years old. And my dad, was a functional alcoholic, and he did the best that he could, and along with my sister, Marianne Brown, God rest her soul, and my nephew is a sweatscaster, James Brown. I don't know if you know JB, but he was like a mentor to me and a role model. You know, he's a CBS sweatscaster, James Brown. I don't know if you
James, that's your nephew?
That's my nephew. That's his mom raised
Get
me.
Get out of here.
Know? Yeah. So, you know, when I talk about my sister, I'm talking about his mom who raised all of us. And at the end of the day, they just, every show I do, every movie I do, every play I do, I pray and I meditate before I go on stage, before I go on screen. And I just thank all of them for being a part of my life and helping guide me through, you know, the early years, you know. So that's how I pay homage. And I try to go into the juvenile detention centers. I try to go into the prisons. I try to go into the high schools. You know, I try to go in back into the hood and talk to young kids and try to use my life as an example of, you know, I haven't been perfect. I've had a lot of bumps and turns, but for the most part, I've managed to stay out of trouble and stay out of the news, you know. And so I try to share that part of my life and thank God for my teachers and all of my mentors, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Let's go here. Because
okay.
One of the things that is very powerful with you and that is your spiritual connection. Now, again, for those of you who don't understand Pisces, honey, that's one thing that we all have in common. So I'm connecting more with him on that particular level. But in this business, we know as show,
mm-hmm.
How is it that you've been able to maintain your spirituality? Mm-hmm. With all of the bumps and the bruises and the evilness that this business has to offer, how have you been able to sustain yourself without losing yourself?
Oh, my God, Big Meech, you really have been doing your homework, man. You're asking me a lot of crazy, strong, hard questions here, making me get emotional. it's a tough business, and the business is replete with people who, along the journey of trying to be an artist, have lost their way. You know, we give, you know, homage
mm-hmm.
to Richard Pryor and to Freddie Prinze and Heath Ledger and Lindsay Lohan in
yeah.
the other world who have lost their way, so to speak. You know, Maya Campbell, who I did South Central with, whose mom, B.B. Moore Campbell, is a friend of mine, her dad, you know, and we constantly say prayers for, you know, artists who have lost their way and hopefully, you know, haven't lost their lives and can find their way again. I think that coming out of the hood helped me. I think the faith that my mom and my dad and my mentors and my sister and all the mentors and all the surrogates that I had a surrogate big brother named Daryl Harvey, God rest his soul, my dad, my cousins, his mom, Ima Jean Johnson, who took me in when I was 7 years old. God rest her soul. Some of them have passed on. All my uncles, they instilled in me a certain kind of faith and a determination not to quit. My father used to say, where there is a will, there's a way. And if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can make it through. And there have been several times along this journey that I thought about giving up. I thought about just packing it in, you know, and, you know, even, you know, you get to places in your life where you feel like you just want to stop living sometimes because it's so hard. When I was homeless in New York, I was living, you know, from house to house, and then I was damn near living on the streets, and I was living in a rooming house, and I came from a family, and I almost had a nervous breakdown, but somehow, some way, God had a hand in it, and I do believe that God had a hand in it because he just was determined and his grace to see me through. And I think that's what has kept me going in the hard times, in the tough times. Thank you. As I've made this journey as an entertainer, you know, and what I try to do is, thank you. Thank God that he's brought me this far by faith. I try to stay humble. It's not a humble business sometimes, you know, because sometimes you got to have an ego to be demanding and, you know, get what you need business-wise. But I refuse to step on people, and I have some people out there, you know, some deals that have gone wrong and gone sour, who think I ain't SH, and there are a lot of innuendos and rumors about me, and all kinds of things. But, you know, I have my set of haters and people like that. And at the end of the day, mm-hmm. unless you live in my house, unless you walk in my shoes, unless you were there doing a business transaction, unless you have all the information, you really don't know what happened. So,
okay, now say that.
You know, and I have to check myself on that. The other day, I made a comment about Tony Parker and even Eva Longoria and my lady friend correct me. She said, "You don't know what went on in their house." And at the end of the day, I had to find myself not being so judgmental about what I thought I knew. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know, I did the best that I could with what I had, and I tried to stay true to the game of being humble and trying to be a nice person, and it's been trying, you know, and the spiritual part of my life and the faith that I've had is what brought me through, and I refuse to quit, and I refuse to die, and that's what I decided to do, and, you know, the journey has become a little easier. You know, I just went through I was married for almost 15 years, just went through a really tumultuous divorce. You know, God brought me through, you know, and, you know, if you take the high road, I did a play years ago, and I know everybody remembers Robert Guillaume from television.
Yes.
And Robert Guillaume gave me a hug, and he said, "Man, you're a talented young fellow." And he said, "Always, always take the high road." And that's what he told me, and I never forget it. And I tried to, in my journey, take the high road. It hasn't always been easy. I haven't always taken the high road. I've succumbed to cursing Negroes out and threatening Negroes and doing all kinds of stuff. And now that I'm at a different place in my journey, I'm just trying to fall back. But I just thank God he's brought me this far by faith, because it hasn't been me. It's been the stuff that they instilled in me and a belief, and that's all I can say. And the other thing that I think helped me is I've never really been a drug person. Like, I smoke weed like everybody else back in high school. Because when I talk to the young kids, when I go into the institutions, I tell them the stuff that I did. You know, I smoke weed back in high school, you know. And I tell, because you can't really help people grow unless you tell them the truth. You know, you don't,
it
I never want to go in front of young people.
If it ain't true, exactly.
You know, you got to tell
this
the truth no matter what it is.
It's not true.
It's just not going to work. If you know you used to be a murderer, say you used to be a murderer, you know. But I changed. God came in and changed my life, you know. I used to be a gambler. I used to be this, tell the truth. So I tell the kids the truth. And you know, it has helped me understand how to, you know, face my own fears and my own problems. And the thing that has really helped, on top of being, you know, a spiritual person and growing as a spiritual person, because I haven't always been as spiritual, especially coming from the hood, the first thing you want to do is fight.
Right.
You know, but you got to take the high road. And the hardest doctrine in the Bible to do is to turn the other cheek. And I've had to learn how to do that in my divorce. I've had to learn how to forgive myself. I've had to learn how to forgive others. I've had to learn how to forgive family and friends. And at the end of the day, I think the other thing that saved me is I've never been a drug person, and I've never done cocaine and never done any of the hard drugs. So as I wrap this up, the journey in Hollywood is an arduous one for African-Americans and Latinos and for women. And at the end of the day, you've got to keep your wits about you. So having substance abuse on top of all the other things that you're going to deal with out here, it's just not a good combination. And so I think those are the things that have helped me stay connected, you know, over the years, you know, 35-year career that I've managed to build, you know?
Okay.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
You know, as I'm listening, I'm taking it in, because I'm hearing a couple of similarities, because when I lived in New York briefly, I too was homeless. So when you were going through that, I'm sitting over here, I'm wellowing up. I still got my homeless ID card.
I ain't mad at you. Now, where are you from, Meech?
I'm from Detroit.
Okay.
Yes, and you and I met there when you came to town back in 06 when I was there working with Nikki Gilbert. We were doing
okay.
Soul Kitten Cabaret. You had came in.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember us having conversation.
Right. I remember you guys were rehearsing, and I came in.
And you came in, and Monifa jumped in your arms and carried on. And
that's all the chocolate.
Yeah.
That's all that is. It's just the chocolate. That's all it is.
Right. I know.
Well, you know what?
Yes,
you know, God has brought you a mighty long way, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, it just wasn't in the cards for you not to be successful. You know, it was God's plan. And part of that is just believing that it's God's plan, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, see, here is where I want to take this, because being a spiritual being and being in this business, you have been able to manipulate all forms of this genre, being television, film, and stage as an actor, and I see now that you're directing and producing, and you're more so a lot of the inspirational plays that are getting a lot of criticism, you know, for being on the Chitlin' Circuit plays and this, that, and the other. What was your transition into that, and what is it that you feel that you can do to help change the perception of these particular plays?
You know, my transition happened because I was doing a lot of shows out on the road, and people were coming to me asking me for advice, and I started taking creative consulting credits, and then I realized that, you know, I've been an actor all my life, and I said, you know, let me take a look at directing and producing. So that's why I'm making this transition. It's a slow transition. In fact, if anybody out there got the money and they want to get in this play, movie, DVD game, they need to call me, call Keith, make sure they have Keith's information, because I'm really, you know, I have a film company, and I really want to just really make this transition. I'm not tired of acting, but I want to branch out and do some other things that I've always wanted to do, along with traveling
and grow, right?
You know, and grow. So you know, and one of the things that one of my pet peeves out there on that circuit is that, you know, sometimes we hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have a tendency to give the plays, you know, not the kind of attention to detail that it needs, you know. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to do is bring better material, better lighting, better sets, better acting, better all-around production values to that circuit. I think Dave Talbert has been able to do that. Several people out there have been able to do it, but I want to get into that game, because I think, you know, African-Americans who can't make it to New York and make it to Broadway, they deserve to see quality productions. And
exactly.
I don't think they deserve to see a play with some thrown together rented furniture and some actors who don't know their lines, and, you know, people making entrances and exits out of nowhere. You know, we need to bring a better quality of work to that circuit. And that's what I'm hoping to do. And I'm not knocking anybody out there who is out on the circuit now. But I want to turn that circuit into Black Broadway if I can get the money, you know? And that's what I want to do.
You know what? And that, if I could see that, God help me. Because I've not toured. I've done local stuff back home in Detroit. But I am tired of them being what I call glorified church plays.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, everybody who's in it comes from the church. You know, somebody who just say they want to add, oh, this looks
mm-hmm.
so fun. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't take it seriously. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I've had to tell a production, Miss Thing, you know, and I've said this in the church, I said, bitch, listen, I do this for a living. This is how
mm-hmm.
I pay my bills. You're sitting up here playing, and you're pretty good. Oh, well, I can't make rehearsal, honey. I got to go to work. And I understand all that. But don't sit up here and waste my time, because when you come to rehearsal, you're supposed to be together. And, oh, yeah. So I've had my share of that. And then what I also get tired of is the same message. A lot of the shows, at least back in the day, they're changing now, and they're starting to get better with the messages and this, that, and the other. But back in the day when they first hit and everything was mama this, mama don't cry too long, mama got a headache today, and, you know, it was that same message, and with that same stereotypical look. You had a big old woman who was mama, and if the girl wasn't pregnant or about to be pregnant, she was dating a dope dealer. The son was a dope dealer. Daddy was no good beating up on the mama. And they had a snap queen who was always the butt of the jokes, you know, the little quips. So I would love to see this particular genre, as you said, take a life of its own. We as black folks, we have always created our own for our own. And now we just need a better product so that we can claim it, and it's not just the Chitlin' Circuit play. You know what I mean? I would like to see our stuff, like Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God, or like a Dream Girls, or something that goes global.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
you
not
hear me?
Just in the cities.
I think the bottom line is that it's gonna take somebody with a vision that is not afraid to try something different. You know, so that's what I'm working on. How am I going to get there? I'm not sure. You know, it's all about money. You know, so I'm still working on it.
Dig that.
So my hope is to bring out on that circuit, you know, plays like Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God, The Wiz, and, you know, Zoo Man and the Sign, A Soldier's Story, all that kind of stuff that I did years ago that was wonderful, and the circuit is ready for it. I mean, I don't know if you saw the Marvin Gaye story that we did in Detroit, but the circuit is ready.
No, I missed it, but I had auditioned for that. When
wow.
It was first in his earlier productions, I had auditioned for that, but I'm a man of size. I'm 6'4", and I'm over 300 pounds, so, you know, and then too, I'm a baritone bass singer, and some of the roles I went out for, you know, they wanted them screaming tenors, first tenor, second alto children, and no, so they weren't finna tear up my voice.
Okay. God got a place for big guys like you too somewhere, the bottom line is that we just got to keep giving it to them and keep giving them, you know, excellence and just keep reaching for excellence, you know?
Exactly.
That's my thing.
Exactly.
We got to keep reaching for it. So, you know, that's
exactly.
The bottom line, you know? So
now,
that's what I'm working on.
What are we looking for to come from Clifton Powell currently? What's about to drop?
The next piece I'm doing is called Hoes Up, Pimps Down. I'm going to do a comedy called Hoes Up, Pimps Down.
Shut up.
Where the hoes is bossing the pimps around. I got a Negro at the hair shop getting his hair done, and the hoes and took his car, and he got to get on the bus and get home. And they're supposed to give him like $1,500. They give him like $300 and tell him to wait for the rest of his money. I'm joking. But I do have that in my head.
I'm loving the concept of it, actually.
Right. I just finished doing this movie with Ray Liotta called Street Kings Motor City. And again, we're trying to produce these movies and plays. You know, that's what I'm working on. Like, and so I'm looking for financial people who want to get on board, you know? So that's what we're working on.
Okay, put it out there. Okay, we're looking for those of you. Where are all the children, honey? They got all this money that everybody keep wanting to tax. Obama say the rich folks need to get more taxes, and they're looking for bigger tax breaks. So, honey, come and invest. Invest your money in the theater.
My stuff is tried and tested. My numbers are good. So, you know, it's just really right now, all I'm really looking for is a financier who can come in and help me do these plays that we put on, you know, and go straight to DVD and write the television. And then I have a couple of small movie pieces that I'm trying to do. You know, that's all I really want to do now. I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to be touring soon. Part of, you know, is being sponsored by, and I really want you to promote this for me, Big Meech. I'm going
to
be going out on a lecture circuit. I'm going out on a lecture circuit.
Get out.
As a part of, hey, are we live, Big Meech?
Yes, we are.
Okay, I got a bunch of calls coming in. I got to take them. I'm at the airport picking up one of my dear friends. But anyway, we're going to finish this, but I'm going out on the lecture circuit, and I'm going to be talking about how to get in the business and how to sustain a career in the business. It's being sponsored by the Peachtree Film Festival. The folks here are from
Atlanta.
Yeah, and they're from Atlanta. We're starting out in Charlotte. So if people hear about it, buy your tickets, come in. I'm running the whole thing, talking about every aspect of the business, every aspect. How to get your kids in the business.
Get that information to me immediately. I done told every actor that I know, if there's anybody that needs to be taught, I say you and Sam Jackson, y'all the two biggest black men who stayed in everything. If you ain't in it, Sam got the other piece of it.
Amen. I will.
And what
I'm going to do, Meech, I got to go now, but I'm going to have Leslie Drake, who's running the whole publicity wing of this whole thing, call you up. And we're going to chop it up. And then I'm going to call you back so that we can finish this whole thing. But I got to go now because I'm about to be in trouble.
Take it, baby. We'll talk later.
Listen,
I'll bring you back.
Big Meech, I got your number. How can I reach you afterwards? Because I need to talk to you because I want you to really, you know, talk about this thing that we're trying to do.
Okay, I got your number. I will text you mine, and then we'll talk.
Okay. Listen, man, I had a ball talking to everybody, and God bless everybody, man, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And I'm
happy
so grateful to all
the
fans. And happy Thanksgiving to you, Big Meech. God brought you through, and we're going to try to play. We're going to put you in something.
Okay,
and
now you know
what?
I'm going to hold you to that. Now, Darren,
no,
you can't sign up for the text you now.
Good Meech, let me say, make sure you get my number from Keith and tell him I said for you to call me so we can talk about the play stuff that I'm trying to do, and we can also talk about these seminars, man, because I would love for you to come in and talk, you know?
Oh, well, lovely. Yes, I will, most definitely.
I'm tackling every aspect of the business, from music to how to model, how to get into, you know, acting, how to, you know, what schools to pick. And just real quickly, some of the students out there, African-American students, don't know about league auditions. And I'm going to talk about league auditions because if you're getting ready to go to college, and I'm going to end right here, Juilliard, NYU, Carnegie Mellon, and Yale, and I think Emerson, offer league auditions. And what league auditions are is at the end of the year, they pick the best students to get signed by the biggest agencies. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
And some of the African-American students never hear about that. And we're going to be talking about that. So, then we're going to talk about how to manage your money, how to keep your spiritual life, how to keep your life in order, how to keep your diet, your substance abuse. We're going to talk about every aspect of the business so that people can have a different kind of start and to put together a better plan than I had. God has blessed me, and thank God for that. But, you know, if it wasn't for that, but I want to leave some, you know, wisdom behind so that people can make, you know, different choices.
Well, you know, but on that note, you go ahead and handle your business before so that you don't miss nobody. We will definitely talk. I thank you for all that you have just given us today.
And God bless you too, because you definitely.
Yes.
And I love Pisces, man. Pisces have the biggest spirits and the biggest heart. Hail to all my Pisces out there. Listen, man, make sure you send me a way to reach you, Big Meech, so we can talk.
I promise.
Okay, buddy. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, now you have a great one, and be a great one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is Mr. Clifton Powell. Part one, okay, can you stand it? Can you stand it, honey? Wow, just wow. Oh, God, it's just so grand and so fantabulous, honey. Can you stand it? Oh, my cup runneth over. my cup running over. But the secret to that is, in the running over part is not for me. It's for me to share. So, darling, for those of you who are listening and those of you, if you're catching this in the archives or whatever, I thank you for your time. And I want you to embrace these jewels. Embrace the jewels, honey, because he said a number of things here. He wants you to make sure that you stay true to yourself, true to the craft, true to the game. Oh, excuse me, I have a deep cough. He wants you to make sure that you understand the work. You have to understand what it is when you go to the auditions, what you're going in there for, so that you can present your best self. Ah, I'm just so grateful, and I'm waiting on part two of this. So at this particular time, ladies and gentlemen, yes, I'm going to take this time, and I'm going to say thank you. Once again, I'm going to give you special announcements at this point. I want you to save the date for June 4th, 2011, where we will be in Detroit. Big Meats will be in Detroit. And I think if I do this right, honey, I might be live, doing the show, or at least a live remote, from the FIMO Artist, an evening of jazz, art and theater. That's going to be at the Samaritan Center. This is Saturday, June 4th, 2011. This is sponsored completely by Pharaoh's Treasure Box. And I'm going to be there. We're going to do some wonderful things with putting together a lovely show for you for the theater portion. We're going to have fantabulous artwork and things from many local artists and a special guest featured artist that's going to be there. And then we're going to have some wonderful, wonderful music from the live jazz band. I can't tell you all of the secrets right now because we got to confirm everything. So once we get all of the confirmations on the guests, we would give all that to you as well, okay? So June 4th, 2011, I want you to mark your calendars for that. For those of you who are going to be traveling, for my men of size, and for all of my big boys out there, this one is for you. Orlando, Florida, March 25th through the 28th, 2011. Honey, we're going to take over the Parliament House, honey, in the thick of the night, darling. This is the spring fling that's going to be carrying on, honey. We're going to have a grand old good time there. And this is a time for same gender loving men of size, honey, and your admirers to come on out to have a good old time. We're going to do a big old brotherhood of affairs. I want you to go to bigbrothersnetwork.com for your registration information. That's bigbrothersnetwork.com. For all of your registration information, for your room and all the itinerary that's going to go on. So I want to make sure that you're there because it's my birthday month. Y'all heard me. So y'all know I start February 28th to April 2nd. So if you're coming, bring presents. Ah, ha, ha, ha. I'm accepting all, honey, cash included. So with that, my darlings, I thank you all for your love and your support, honey. I'm just glad that we were able to pull this together, considering the day that I've had trying to get here to make sure everything was going to start on time. I'll explain that at another time. But right now, babies, the tea has been dished, so the crumpets have been served, because you have been dishing tea. Darlings, with Big Meats. Until next week, I want you to be here next week because singer extraordinaire Mr. Fine himself, the legendary Mr. Christopher Williams, is going to be dishing his tea with us next week, December 1st. He's going to start off and kick off our Christmas season. So, yes, honey. So come on out. Next week, Christopher Williams will be here. And guess who else is coming, honey? From the Tyler Perry Plays. And also, honey, singing phenomenon, honey, Miss Deatra Hicks will be coming later on in December, so I want you to mark your calendars for that. She'll be here December 22nd. So with that, always know, honey, if you love me, tell a friend. If you hate me, tell an enemy. But do know this, one way or the other, honey, this thing will keep moving forward. With that being said, honey, I love you for your support, and thank you for your time and your energy. And once again, honey, this is Big Meech, and you have been dishing tea, darlings, with me. I'll talk with you soon. Ciao.